That's what we want to focus on today for sure. So there's two words. You have this there in your outline. Two Greek words for sword. Now, I don't have quite a fancy what Anne had. I just got two rulers. I should have had Maverick leave me that one, but that's all right. So the first one, this, and I am not a Greek scholar by any means, but you know you can go on the computer and put it in and have them say it to you and say it to you. So I was trying that this week, but Makaira, something like that. That's this sword right here, actually 12 to 8 inches long. It was a small sword, just for close hand-to-hand combat. Hold it in one hand, move it quickly, was sharp, you could do great damage, and they did. We know that's how they fought. The other one, Ramphaya, how's that, Marina, does that sound okay? Ramphaya, she can do the rolled R's. That's a 3 to 4 foot sword, solid iron. Now that one that Maverick had, pretty lightweight, I'd say. I don't know where he even went. But pretty lightweight. These deals, they were heavy. Often it took both hands to wage war with it and swing it and do all that. So the short one, that is the sword that's talking about here in Ephesians 6:17. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's that one. Say, where's the long one come in? Well, Revelation chapter 1, verse 16 is where we find that Greek word there. And let me read the verse. That's when John is having that vision of Jesus Christ on the island of Patmos in his resurrected, glorified body, and he's describing all his how he looks. I love those verses. At the end of it, he says, in his right hand he held 7 stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp, double-edged sword. That's this one right here coming out of his mouth in the Greek. So we have to use that. Learn how to use the sword of the Spirit effectively against the kingdom of darkness. All your days, you're going to have to do it. It's not once that we think once he's defeated, oh, done with him now. No, it's not. If you watch the news this week over there in Syria, not where the earthquake happened, but another part of Syria where ISIS has a stronghold. We sent in the, I don't know, was Army or Marines or Navy, I'm not quite sure. Do you know? But they went to capture and kill this ISIS commander there in Syria. And right as they were coming close to that house where they knew he was, him or somebody in there had a bomb and they set it off. If you've seen it on the news, and those 4 of those soldiers got injured badly. I don't believe it was critically. I didn't catch a lot of news yesterday, so you may know more than me. But it's like, so when, you know, we haven't heard about ISIS so much recently, I was like, really? They are still doing all their stuff. I mean, I know it, but it just sort of brought it all back to our forefront again. They will not quit. And the devil does not quit. We have to keep defending ourselves spiritually. We have to keep going after him with the sword of the Spirit, just like in the natural. So, with the natural weapons, guns, whatever, sometimes we take the way down by Utica. If we're going to Yankton, and there's that shooting range there, you know, south of Utica a ways. We had to go, not this Monday, but a week ago, I think it was, early in the morning. 8 o'clock, I'll say. So, not that early. And there was somebody already at that shooting range at that time of the morning. I said to Ann, wow, somebody's already practicing. Why? Because they want to improve their skills, don't they? How about the archery range right out here at Trinity Electric? The confirmation kids this time of year, they're often praying about that they'll do good in archery, that they'll make it to state in archery, right? Well, in order to do that, they got to be practicing, improving their skills. Naturally, there's a verse, I have the reference in your outline, Judges 20, verse 16. This is in regard, you'd have to read the whole chapter. It's not a good situation going on, but I just want to tell you one verse about some of the men of the tribe of Benjamin. it says, among all these soldiers, there were 700 chosen men who were left-handed. There you go, all you lefties. Each of whom could sling a stone at a hair and not miss. Could you imagine that? Another translation said the width of a hair. Well, what's the width of a hair? Nothing. Sling a stone at a hair and not miss. They were that skilled with that sling and that stone. Sort of like David against Goliath, right? Why? Because they practiced and practiced and practiced with it. So all the more do we need to grow, and it's a growth all of our lives with the sword of the Spirit if we're going to be effective in using it against Satan and the demonic forces, okay? Now, the one thing when I said that, I tried looking that up and didn't find the exact quote I was looking for, but the one deal is, on one hand, you got these people who say, oh, there is no devil. I don't believe in that. There are no evil spirits. There are no demonic forces. I don't believe it. And then you got the other hand, the extreme, where people think there's a demon behind every bush and every little thing that happens. Oh, that's the devil. That's the devil. That's the devil. That's the devil. You know, so as one of our teachers at school always said, stay in the middle of the road. Don't get off in the ditch over here. Don't get off in the ditch over here. Stay in the middle of the road. So in this too, yes, we are in spiritual warfare. But don't get goofy on me. Not that you would. Years back, I heard, this thing's in my way, heard of times where people would actually rent an airplane and get up there because they wanted to be closer in the heavenlies. They would charter an airplane, actually, to do spiritual warfare. Well, I mean, it's great that they're doing that, but they're in our realm right here on the planet, right? They're all around. We just don't see them. So are God's angels. They're all around. What the devil tries to do is he tries to get us to doubt God's faithfulness in our lives, in every area of our life. Tries to get us to doubt the faithfulness of God's word. That's why right off the bat, Genesis chapter 3, when he goes to Eve in the garden, and what's his statement to the woman? Did God really say? That's his famous line right there. We hear it all the time today in all kinds of situations. Did God really say? Did God really mean that? Well, what he's wanting people to take the bait of, oh no, God didn't mean that for today. God didn't mean in Genesis when he said he created them male and female. Male and female, he created them. Oh, well, I don't know if God really means that today. That's why we have all the transgender craziness going on that we have. So, if I can get political for a moment, I'm glad that they did impair what they did. That Governor Noem signed that HB 1080, I think it was. Why do children need to be having sex changes at their age when you can't fully get your driver's license till you're 16? You cannot vote till you're 18. You are not supposed to drink till you are 21 legally, and whatever all other things, but yet we can be doing this surgeries and all this stuff to change a child's sex at that age. I'm not saying that these families, that there aren't struggles, but we all have struggles and temptations. That does not mean that we just give in to the flesh. Back in most of our days, there were tomboys, and so it was, right? Didn't think anything of it. Sometimes they were guys that were maybe a little more on the feminine side. And so what? But they'd get married to a woman or vice versa. So did God really say? I'm thinking, how'd they get on that? Did God really say? Yes, he really did say. Okay. All right. On the insert, because I got to go on this for a little bit here. The sword of the Spirit. I'm guessing most of you, you know these verses. They're common verses. But this is how we do this. There's actually some cards I went and found on the book, the table out there. This one's called Heaven's Hotline. There's another one that's green that has all kinds of scripture verses. If you run into challenging situations, where do you look in God's Word? You got to know, because that's your sword, all right? So I'm not going through all of these, but just a couple. I mean, I could spend a whole hour going through these easily. Finances, okay? There's times in your life where you struggle more with finances. We all do. Just depends a lot on what phase of life we're in. In our years of our first marriage and on the reservation, we struggled immensely financially. I've told some of you before, you can find a whole lot of aluminum cans, at least on the reservation where we lived, all littered all over the place. And we'd go out walking in the afternoon, just picking them all up, till we got a back of our little pickup load full of bags, and we'd go to Yankton and sell them, cash in the money, and that was the way we'd have a meal at McDonald's or special meal. That was a treat for us. I mean, things were squeaky tight, I'm telling you. And these were just two of the verses we would use when it looked like there was no way that things were going to work out to pay the bills. We'd pray together, Ann and I. This is the situation. We'd say in prayer, Lord, these are the needs. Lay it out there. We had the amount. These are not wants. These are needs. And then we go with the sword of the Spirit because Satan is always trying to put doubt in our minds. So what would we do? Father, your word says in Philippians 4:19 that you will meet and provide for all of our needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And this is what we're asking for. And we're trusting you for it. We'd use some verses more than just that one. In Jesus' name, amen. So what would we do then on the days afterwards when we would pray and that need was still there? We'd say, Lord, we thank you. That's where we put it over into the praise part of things. Father, we thank you. Thank you for providing for this need, for these bills. We thank you for this amount. You said you'd provide for all of our needs according to your riches and glory, and we just praise you for it. We praise you for it. We didn't go on every day asking for it because we had done that. Now we're praising him for it because that's where the faith part comes in before we ever see it. It's just one example. Our children, those verses, you know them well. Raising children in whatever era it is, those you've raised are still doing it. It's challenging. We love our kids dearly. They're wonderful blessings. But there are times every parent can feel like, and probably say to your spouse, are we failing in this? Are we doing anything right? Yeah, don't have to raise your hands. I know it's all of us. Yeah, you are. You are doing awesome jobs here, and God bless you. But that's where we take the word. Lord, and if you've grown, you've raised your children, and they're going on the wayward path, then all the more that's where you stand on this Proverbs 22:6. Father, I'm praying for my son or my daughter who's off wherever doing whatever. You said train up the child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not turn from it. And Father, that's what we tried to do to the best we knew how. We had him in Sunday school. We had him in church. We tried to live it in our home as best as we could. And so we're standing on your word. This is the sword of the Spirit because, again, Satan will come at the mind. He always wants to condemn. Oh, you failed. You failed miserably doing that or that. And that's where you have to stand and say, no, I did not. And that's not pride. I don't mean it in a prideful way, okay? No, we did the best we could, and this is what God's word says, and we're standing on it. Let me just do one more there. Your value, your self-worth. He tries to attack us in that. Again, whether it's with our kids or whatever it might be, there's situations where I think we've all probably felt like a failure. And Satan's right there to hammer it down. But that's there again. So you take this verse, Ephesians 2:10, and you say to him, you know what, Satan? The Bible says, I am God's masterpiece. I am made in his image. He's created me anew in Christ Jesus so that I can do the good things he has planned for me to do from long ago. And you know what? You're probably going to have to say it more than once because he's going to keep pushing. And you got to say it like you mean it. If you're in a place where you can holler it, then holler it. If you're in a place where you can't, then just whisper it with authority. That's how we use the sword of the Spirit. And all these are just, what, I have about nine situations in life, and on it goes. But we speak the word to him because that's our sword, and he hates it. And that's just one of our weapons. We'll go on more in the couple weeks ahead looking at these. Shouldn't be anything new to us. I don't think it is. But sometimes we just need to be reminded and encouraged. Okay? Let's pray. Father, you've not left us helpless here by any means. We know that. You've given us the Holy Spirit, filled us with your Spirit. You've given us the sword of the Spirit. I pray, Lord, that just with some simple examples here, maybe that it sheds some light for some of us of how to use God's word as a sword, because Jesus, you did it, and we know you did it. And so thank you for helping us to stand firm in the battle. You're the greater one within, and we praise you for it. Thank you for this church as we endeavor to grow strong in you together as a family, strong in you and in the power of your might. And I do pray the blood of Jesus Christ over this congregation, over everyone here today, over the many that aren't here today. Give your angels charge over us all, we ask in Jesus' name, and we thank you for it. Amen. Amen. 318. So I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. I love this song. But listen to the second verse. We sing, I believe that the Christ who was slain on that cross has the power to change lives today. And he does. For he changed me completely. A new life is mine. That is why by the cross I will stay. Let's stand and we'll sing this together. There are things as we travel this earth-shifting sands that transcend all the reason of man. But the things that matter the most in this, they can never be held in our hand. And I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary, I'll believe whatever the cost. And when time has surrendered and earth is no more, I'll still cling to the old rugged cross. I believe that the Christ who was slain that cross has the power to change lives today. For he changed me completely, a new life is mine. That is why by the cross I will stay. And I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary, and I'll believe the cost. And time has surrendered and earth is no more, I'll still cling to that old rugged cross. its great mysteries, surely someday will come to an end. But faith will conquer the darkness and death, and will lead me at last to my friend. And I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary, and I believe whatever the cost, and when time has surrendered and earth is no more, I still cling to the old rugged cross. And I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary, and I'll believe whatever the cost. And when time has surrendered and earth is no more, I still cling to that old rugged cross. Amen. Praise the Lord. I think we need to just give a hand clap there. Amen, amen. Please receive the benediction. And now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Have a wonderful day. Coffee hour following. What did I forget? Oh, I didn't. Did I have it in there still? Oh, well, we can sing it. I don't know if she has it. I didn't tell her to. Well, we got to get going. So. Well, we can if you want. I don't care. I guess let's sing it. If you have to go, you have to go. Let's stand up. A prayer for our nation. I wasn't going to do it every Sunday, but if the wife says do it, we do it. Yes, we learn. Okay, she's got to find it. I'm putting her on the spot. Oh my, here we go. God bless America, land that I love. Stand beside her and guide her through the night with the light from above. From the mountains to the prairies to the oceans white with foam. Seated. Thank you, Jennifer, for the beautiful music today.